8. Bones and Plastic Packaging. Martha. While Martha and Sella, Albert and Badger figured out what to try next, time passed. Companies grew bigger. Things became, slowly but inexorably, worse. In Palo Alto, Lenk Skatlish's company, Fantail, snapped up a small but growing rival, a machine learning program that could remix your favorite television shows, creating a version of the celebrity of your choice performing a short episode on a topic you picked in any of 300 languages. It bought up the PhD work and the services of 8 experts in algorithmic projections, enabling Fantail to predict what services their users were likely to want in the short to medium term. And certain data was sold and certain data was stored, and certain profits were made from advertising in certain ways. And very few of Fantail's many customers gave a shit. When they could share a crappy TV short starring them alongside that silver fox Ryan Reynolds speaking fluent Xhosa. Would you save the city for 50? In their new mega headquarters in Columbus, Ohio, Zimri Nomics Company, Anvil, pioneered a lapel pin that recorded all of a person's conversations every day and produced searchable text files from them, which it could then use to create a digital you, able to take over some tedious social obligations for you. The Day Save was initially marketed to students and harried knowledge workers, but it soon spread in popularity. Famous artists designed limited edition Day Save buttons. If you accidentally put them in the laundry, Anvil delivered a replacement within 1 hour. And certain warehouse workers had their pay docked for spending longer than 47 seconds in the bathroom. And certain jurisdictions agreed that Anvil should pay negative tax in exchange for siting a warehouse in the region, and certain quantities of carbon were pumped into the atmosphere. The wealthy became even wealthier, and the poor even poorer, despite all historical indications that this type of situation leads inexorably to violent revolution. And although many people experienced a momentary twinge of anxiety at throwing out more plastic wrapping, very few of Anvil's hundreds of millions of customers and very few of its DaySave subscribers gave enough of a shit to dent its profits by 0.01%. Would you save the city for 45? In Chile, Centralia, Washington, Ellen Bywater's management of Medlar continued the steady accumulations she was famous for. The launch of a new range of ultra-thin screens and ultra-light laptops was the expected success. The design was pleasing, the click both reassuring and intuitive. The new personality paradigms of the inbuilt search function were both elegant and somehow distinguished. And certain slaves mined coltan in the Congo, and certain sleek and beautiful objects of glass and metal were far easier and cheaper to throw away than to repair, and certain chemicals leached into the groundwater in certain places. And while many people signed petitions on Fantail, very few Medlar users gave enough of a shit to sway its share price 0.1%. Suppose there are just 40. Would you save the city for 40? Research had established that using Fantail products for more than 8 minutes a day increased the teenage girl's suicide risk. The same was true for the risk of eating disorders, of bullying, and being subject to bullying. The mental health of the world continued to deteriorate. Depressed and anxious people were less interested in engaging with real problems, more willing to escape to fantasy worlds, more willing to believe hoaxes and conspiracy theories. Fantail released its own research showing that 30 minutes a day of conversation with Fantail Pal, its artificially intelligent support software, was correlated positively with productivity. Several states and some countries agreed in exchange for payment that Fantail Pal should be installed preferentially as the interface personality on thin screens in schools. The mental health of humanity continued to be strip-mined. No advertisers moved elsewhere. The board did nothing. Don't be angry. I know this is getting ridiculous now. What if there were only 30 good people after all? Would you save the city for 30? Eager to introduce the new personality paradigms to the world, Medlar made certain uncharacteristic concessions. Believing that the personality paradigms would create a more peaceful global outlook in Russia, in Saudi Arabia, in China, in Afghanistan, in Belarus, in North Korea, in Iran, in Syria, in Uzbekistan, Ellen Bywater had agreed it would be right to allow governments to monitor their citizens via certain Medlar phone apps. No government agency was willing to give up this vital source of anti-terrorist information. There were protests. There were signs of societal instability around the world. Badger told their mother they were disgusted by her. But nothing changed. Maybe there are just 20. Would you save the city for 20? The fact was that Anvil was not as bad as some. The evils of the world could not be pinned on Zimri Nomik and his successful business strategies. Nonetheless, the new Anvil factory in Myanmar dumped runoff into the Irrawaddy River, and then no Irrawaddy dolphins were sighted. Sela Nomik watched a 20-year-old video of the laughing, shiny gray mammals leaping in the water. That was what Anvil left, videos and bones and plastic packaging. She thought, it's not him that will die, it's the world that will end. Zimri Nomik bought 5 large areas of land from African and Asian governments to turn into future safe zones, places where human visitors were not allowed to go under any circumstances. These zones were designated as refuges for wild animals and to allow flora and fauna to regrow and rewild the landscape. These projects, admirable in themselves, comforted the public that something was being done. Sela Nomik knew perfectly well that Zimri was planning to go to one of those zones himself in the event of environmental collapse, that confidential clauses in the agreements with regional and national governments allowed him to do so, that the one whose future was safe was Zimri. It could be that we can only find 10 good people. Would you save the city for 10? It was in those days that Badger Bywater took the passkey from their mother for the vault under the hill in New Zealand. It was a gold elliptical disc embossed with Badger's name and a copy of their fingerprint. Badger took the tour of the deep bunker with the lace filigree of metal and wood running through the central atrium. Badger listened to their parents, Ellen and Will, talk animatedly about the wonderful work they'd done here at the edge of the world, how much would be preserved from the oncoming storm, about how this was a good thing. Didn't Badger want to survive? Albert Dabrowski received his bunker key from Medlar on the anniversary of his husband's death and knew with despair that he would have done no better than Ellen Bywater if he'd been in her position. And yet he knew that there was much that could be done. She was his dark reflection, the person he despised himself for being. He thought again, as he had often thought, that things might be better if he just died somehow, if he left his shares to Greenpeace or to be held in trust and used for the benefit of the whales or the birds or the great apes of the world. The only person he told these thoughts to was Martha Einkorn. She told him to hold on. Hold on. Martha Einkorn was sent to attend various apocalypse trade shows for Lenk, looking for the latest gadgets for his survival bunker. She listened to the experts who guessed how many years it would be before the bunker was needed. 20 years. 10 years. 5 years. 2 years. Or is it, and this is always an option, just time to give up? Once upon a time, Martha Einkorn had killed a bear. She knew how to do it when she saw that bear would kill her and would gain no benefit. Some creatures are driven to kill even when they cannot eat. Sick animals do this. And humans. We keep on pressing the button long after all pleasure or satisfaction is gone. More money, more influence, more fame, more power. The bear's rotten jaw was Enoch's compulsive dark fragmentation while railing against pieces. Was Lenk's compulsive acquisition of spurious certainty. In a human, the drive to do what computers do, to try the same thing maddeningly often, again and again and again, never hurrying, never tarrying. That drive is a sign of sickness. Once upon a time, Martha Einkorn had woken long before dawn. In the dark of the compound, she had taken money and a gun from her father, because she needed to be free, because she wasn't willing to sit in a cave and pretend the rest of the world didn't exist. She had walked through the dark into the morning. She had hitched a ride and paid for a bus, and she had gone into the world. Leaving is a skill you can learn. That was what she knew Lenk had seen in her, that she knew how to leave. And Lenk Sketlish believed that in his lifetime he would have to leave the world. He had seen the future coming, and he knew it was no good, that radical sacrifices would have to be made, that the strong would live, and the weak would perish. And maybe, after all, he was right.